Please take your hymnals. Let's join together this morning by turning together to 126. 126, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. When morning gilds the skies, my heart awakening cries, may Jesus Christ be praised. We trust you're in a praising mood this morning as we sing together. Number 48, shall we stand, please? Is mine.
Our memory verses are in Isaiah chapter 59, verses 19 and 20. We'll say the reference and then the verses together. Isaiah 59, 19 and 20. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and His glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. This is Kelsey Grace Langford. She's the daughter of Steve and Kathy Langford, and she's the granddaughter of Mr. and Mrs. Bob Langford and Mr. and Mrs. Dave Kendall. The grandmothers are here, but neither the grandfathers made it today. And we also have aunts and uncles and cousins and such as that. So we're thankful for this family and thankful for this little one that God has entrusted to Steve and Kathy. And it's their desire to have her publicly dedicated to the Lord. So would you please join me in prayer now as we pray in her behalf. Father, we come this morning with gladness in our hearts because of your goodness in allowing us to have little ones come into our families that we can enjoy, that we can train, that we can direct. And I thank you now for Kelsey and, Lord, the joy that she's already been to her parents and to her family. And I would ask that in days and years to come that that joy will increase as they see her developed physically and emotionally and intellectually and spiritually. I pray, Lord, that the day will come soon in her life when she recognizes that she is a sinner before Thee, that she will open her heart and accept Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. I pray that her parents would make the name of Jesus very familiar to her and the truths of the Bible. May they likewise be very familiar to her as they would train her and teach her the truths of Thy Word. And Lord, I ask that as she comes to adulthood, that your full purpose in her life will be realized, and that the potential of her life will be lived not for self and not for the world, but for Thee. And so it's with gladness and joy in our hearts that we come this morning to publicly dedicate her unto Thee now in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in whose name I pray. Amen. She did away with my glasses. You want this? Thank you so much for being here this morning and sharing in our service. Many of you are regulars, but some of you are visitors, and we're privileged to welcome you and say to you how much we appreciate your being here with us. If you are a visitor today, we'd ask you to reach into the book rack in the pew in front of you, take out a visitor's card and fill it out. You have plenty of time to do that, and to put it in the offering plate when it passes by so that we can know that you've been here and know a little something about you. Again, we thank you for coming. Many of our folks are away at this time, and we're always glad for others who come to take the place of those who are absent. Now tonight, Evangelist Tom Farrell will be with us. And if you have any unsaved friends or neighbors that you could have come with you, I know that they would be challenged by the message, as we will be. Tom Farrell is the speaker for our Outreach 2000 crusade, which is coming up in November. At the Palmetto Expo Center, And I hope you're praying for this. Remind you again about the prayer time at the center every Tuesday morning, to which all of you are invited. Now, on August the 5th, our Men for Missions ministry is going to be hosting the Men for Missions men from Faith Baptist Church. We'd like to have a good number of our men come out. And so we're asking you to sign up. We don't normally do that, but so that we can have some idea, the cooks can have some idea of how many of our men to expect, plus how many of their men, so they'll be sure to have sufficient food for everybody. And you can take care of this back in the ministry center after the service today or after the service tonight, as well as next Sunday, but the sooner you sign up, the better. We have some very interesting and exciting things, I believe, coming up, and one of these is a conference for the ladies. They're calling it a Titus II conference in September, and Kim Crowley from Cambodia will be coming to be the speaker for that conference, the main speaker, and there will be other speakers as well, so it'll be a great time for the ladies. Mark this on your calendar, and other details will be available soon. Also, Ted Olson wanted me to announce that another Hampton Park Outreach training course, which will go August, September, and October, will begin the week of August the 13th. See Ted back in the Ministry Center. The space is limited, but there's room for you if you will go and sign up for this. We thank you for your vote on Wednesday night for all of the items on the agenda, and we let Pastor Conley know that we had extended a call to him, and he responded to that and accepted the call. There's a copy of his letter back at the reception desk, if any of you care to read it. He'll be coming on Tuesday, and we'll be meeting with him, and probably the first of a number of meetings. And so pray everything will work out for this transition for him to come here. And I know that the Conleys are very concerned about the ministry there in Irmo, that God will provide somebody for that. So remember that too, as all these things work out. Again, we thank you for this vote of approval. Looking forward to what God has for the Conleys here and what they have for us through them. Grace Tuttle will be having outpatient surgery tomorrow at Greenville Memorial Hospital. Debbie Payne will be having surgery tomorrow, also at Greenville Memorial. Mark Lyon's sister will be having surgery this week. Mike, David, Joy, and Charity Edwards left this morning on their return trip to Papua New Guinea. Debbie will be joining them later. But pray for the family, the part of the family that's on the way now. Pray the Lord will give them a safe trip there. And then pray for those that remain behind. Grace and Jonathan will be staying here for school. Our team to Ironwood, some left this morning. Others will be leaving this afternoon. Pray for a safe journey for them and that they'll make a real contribution to the ministry there at Ironwood Camp in California. Others that are still out serving the Lord in other places, want to remember them. It's a time of the summer when a lot of the physical energy has been drained and they need some special help from the Lord to regain their strength to finish out the weeks of their ministry. So please remember all of those that are serving the Lord in other places. And as we serve Him here, pray for our faithfulness and pray that God will use us to reach others, to share the gospel with them, to see some come to know Jesus Christ as personal Savior. The offerings have been great this month. Hope they can continue throughout the month. Don't want to over-encourage you because we still don't have a great deal coming in for our activity center, but we're trusting the Lord to provide that in the weeks and months ahead. Now, tonight we will be taking a free will offering at the end of the service for our visiting speaker. Please keep that in mind. I want to pray for ourselves as we're gathered here this morning that God would use His Word in a special way to challenge our hearts. Shall we pray together? Lord, we again are signally blessed to be Your children through Jesus Christ. Not because we have done anything to earn our salvation or to deserve our salvation. But we have accepted this free gift from Thee through Jesus Christ. And we know from Your Word that anyone who has ever been saved has been saved in the same way, by confessing sin and repenting of it, and by receiving Christ as personal Savior. If there are any in our midst this morning who do not know Him, we would ask for their salvation today. And we remember our service tonight as Tom Farrell is with us. And then, Lord, as we move toward the Outreach 2000, may that be a time of wonderful harvest with a spiritual impact made upon our community that we've not seen for a long time. But in the meanwhile, may we do what we can to reach people around us with whom You put us in contact. And, Lord, that we might have the joy of others coming to Christ and believing in Him and receiving that eternal life that He has to give. Thank You for the giving of the people here, that You've provided material resources that they in turn can give to Your ministry. And we thank You for the offering that will be given today. Now, guide and direct in all of this service, we ask in Christ's name. Amen.
do want to say a special word of thank you this morning to Joni Pegram for her beautiful offertory for us. And I want to say thank you also to Ann Mulkey for her help with the choir number this morning, playing the flute with us. There's a lot of conforming going on in this world. You can just walk out of your door and see a lot of conformity in dress in other areas of our lives. The Lord has called us to be in conformity with Him. We are transformed and then we are conformed. Let's sing about that by turning to 315. 315, I would be like Jesus. Earthly pleasures vainly call me, I would be like Jesus. 315, let's stand to sing, please.
Turn to Psalm 42 for our scripture reading this morning. This is a service from Hampton Park Baptist Church in Greenville, South Carolina. I'm Pastor Dave Yurick, and after our scripture and prayer, Janelle and Arabeth Kilpatrick will be coming to sing for us. Psalm 42, begin to read with verse 1. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites, from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God my rock, Why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, Where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Father, we thank you today for being with us. Thank you, Lord, that even when we feel that we've been forsaken, that you are there. And now we trust thee to use our time together this morning for the glory of thy name, for the benefit of each one who is here. And once again, we pray, if there is anyone in this service or anyone who listens by radio later who does not know Jesus Christ as personal Savior, as we pray every week, that today would be the day of someone's salvation. Thank you, Lord, for your power to save, for your readiness to save all who will come to thee through Jesus Christ, in whose name I pray. Amen. Thank the mother and daughter Kilpatrick for this message and song this morning. As you read the words in Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2, as the hart or as the deer panteth after the water brooks because of its great thirst, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. And similar words are found in Psalm 63:1. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee. Do you respond to these words of the psalmist by saying, those are exactly my sentiments? Those are my desires? That is my hunger? That is my thirst? I have such a hunger and thirst for God that I can hardly stand it. I am almost overcome by it. It is constantly before me. I want to know more of God. I want to draw closer to God. I want to have greater blessing for God. I have this hunger and thirst after righteousness because God Himself is the perfect righteousness. Or must you admit to a certain coldness of heart and a lack of real love and affection for God? If I'm going to be honest with you, I must confess that I find myself more inclined to the latter than I do the former. David was known as a man after God's own heart. Was that reserved for David only? Did he have something special in his soul that God referred to him as a man after his own heart? Or is that a spiritual characteristic attainable by all? I believe it's something we all can gain. We can all be people with a heart after God. Such a condition doesn't come naturally. It must be pursued. This morning I'd like to suggest a number of things that I believe can help you and me in striving to have a heart after God. Now first, let me answer the question some might ask. Why should I desire to have a heart after God anyhow? How will it benefit me if I have such a heart, such a hunger and thirst after God? 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward Him." Have to believe that a heart that is really after God, after the will of God, after the knowledge of God, after obedience to God, that such a heart is a mature heart. It's a perfect heart. And so God promises a special blessing. He'll show Himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward Him. God's greatest blessings are reserved for those who have a heart after God, like David had. Now to attain such a heart, we must give our hearts to God through Jesus Christ. Heart is synonymous with soul. An unregenerated person cannot possess a heart after God. Oh, there may come a time when there is a hunger there, but I'm talking through the course of life while that person is living in sin and in an unsaved state, he cannot have a heart after God. A heart given to self and sin and Satan will not be a heart after God. Jeremiah 17:9 tells us, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked." Without a knowledge of God, without the power of God, without the blood of Jesus Christ washing away the sin of our hearts are desperately wicked. Not just a little bit, but desperately wicked. And only God can really know the depths of such hearts. So, if we're going to have a heart after God, we have to be certain that we have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, that we have yielded our souls to Him. Secondly, it must be wholly given to God. There are those who profess to accept Christ as Savior who don't wholly give themselves over to God when they do that. Now, we could argue today whether they're really saved or not, and we'll not get into that. But we just know there are folks who profess to trust Christ who would tell you, "I am not giving myself wholly over to God. I have not made a complete surrender of my life and my being and my possessions to God." It was said of Caleb of old that he wholly followed the Lord. We're told that about him a number of times. He wholly followed the Lord. There was no holding back on the part of Caleb. Everything he was, everything he had, everything he desired was centered in God. And there were no reservations about Caleb and his walk with God. He wholly followed the Lord. In the prophecy of Hosea, the 10th chapter in the 2nd verse, talking about the people of Israel, it says their heart is divided. Their heart is divided. God's people suffered greatly from heart disease in the days in which Hosea prophesied. And this heart disease is prevalent among professed believers in Christ today. A portion of the heart reaches out to God, wants to be known as belonging to God, wants to go to heaven when life is done here, but the other part of the heart clings to the things of this life and of this world, and we have a heart divided. And a heart that is divided will not be a heart that is truly after God. So our hearts must be wholly given, and that's W-H-O-L-L-Y, altogether given to God. Thirdly, we need to strive for total obedience. Once we're saved, we need to desire to be totally obedient to God. If we can live without practicing obedience to the Word of God and practicing obedience to the will of God, we cannot have a heart that is truly after God. Now, it doesn't mean that we will be totally obedient. The power is there. Through Christ, we have the power to be altogether obedient. David, the man after God's own heart, so identified a number of places in the Bible, was not totally obedient. We looked at his great sin with Bathsheba just a few Sunday mornings ago. But I say the power to be obedient is available to us. It's the will that we lack. God provides what we need to be obedient, but we do not have the will to be obedient. You know, the baseball pitcher strives to throw a strike every time he pitches. The batter strives to hit the ball, to get a hit every time he bats. No pitcher is perfect. No batter is perfect. No batter bats 1,000. Unless maybe he's up one time during the season, happens to get a hit that time. What does the average pitcher throw? Maybe he throws a few more strikes than he does balls. Maybe the batter, the best of batters, may get a hit 1/3 of the time that he gets up to bat. But he doesn't stop striving. If you're a ball player, you know that you want to get a hit every time when you get up to bat. If you're a pitcher, you want to throw a strike every time you get out there on the mound to pitch. The fact that you're not doing it doesn't keep you from striving after it. And the fact that we're not being totally obedient should not destroy our desire to be obedient and seeking by the power of God, which is available to us, to be totally obedient. You say, well, I don't know anybody that's ever reached that. No, I don't either. But I say again, that ought to be the goal. That's God's goal for us. That ought to be the goal that we strive after, even though in the flesh we often stumble and fall. So we need to strive for total obedience or to have a heart after God. And when we do sin, we shouldn't hold on to it. Sin held in the heart makes the heart hard toward God and toward the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. Remember when Peter denied 3 times that he knew the Lord? When Jesus looked on him, Peter was broken. He went out and wept bitterly. He sinned. He did wrong. He denied his Lord. Was a terrible thing to do, but he didn't hold on to that. He confessed it. David did, as we know, some awful things, but David has been referred to as one who was a good repenter. He needed to repent because of the sin that he committed, but David was ready to repent when the Spirit of God dealt with him about his sin. And so, when we do sin, let's be quick to confess our sin. Let's be quick to forsake our sin. Let's be quick to accept the cleansing for our sin that there is available to us through Jesus Christ. We need to pray earnestly for such a heart. We sometimes sing, "Give me a heart like thine, O Lord." That ought to be our prayer. Lord, give me a heart like your heart. Give me a heart that follows after you. Give me that hunger, that thirst that the psalmist described when he said, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. That was a continual thing before him. That was his prayer. And our prayer ought to be that we have a heart after God. We must also delight in the Lord. Psalmist says if we delight in the Lord, he'll give us the desires of our heart. Now, meditation is vital to delighting in the Lord. We need to read our Bibles. We need to pray. We also need to spend time just meditating upon what we have read and upon what we have prayed. Meditate on God's power. That's who He is. Psalmist so often points out the great power of God. And I believe this was given to him by the Holy Spirit after he had meditated on the person of God. Who God is. Do we spend time thinking about God as to who He really is? Then we need to meditate on God's provision, and that's what He has done. The great works of God that have already been accomplished. Those that are recorded for us in the Bible. The great works that God has done in our lifetime. The great works that God has done in our lives. Meditate on God's provision. And then meditate on God's promises, and that's what He will do. That's what He is yet to do. God's person, who He is. Or God's power, who He is. God's provision, what He has done. God's promises, what He will do. And when we meditate in this way, I believe we can say with the psalmist, "My meditation of Him shall be sweet. It shall be something pleasing. It shall be something wonderful as we meditate upon God and delight ourselves in Him." We need to seek to develop God-given character qualities. We sang in that one song this morning that was based on Romans 8:29, that God has predestined us to be conformed to the image of His Son. And to be conformed to the image of God's Son is to become more like God's Son. That there is a likeness of God in our being. What are some of the character qualities that we should seek to develop that are qualities of our God? And they're possible to us. Now, God has certain qualities that we can't strive or we can't accomplish. We can't get to them. Like His omnipotence and His omniscience. His omnipresence, His eternality. We can never reach those. But there are character qualities of our God that we can attain to. Our God is a God of compassion. Jesus showed His compassion time and time again when He was here in the world. It says, when He saw the multitudes, He had compassion on them because they were sheep having no shepherd. We have a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ in the story of the Great Samaritan. He was a man of compassion. But you and I can develop compassion so that our hearts not only reach out to God, but our hearts reach out to those whom God loves and for whom Christ died. Compassion, first of all, to see them brought to Christ to be saved, but then compassion for them in their trials and in their testings and in their troubles. Some of us are so wound up in our own problems, we have no time to think about the problems of others. But if we did so, if we reached out in compassion to others in their trials, I think we'd find many of our own trials shrinking. They wouldn't be as great as they are now when we're dwelling on them all the time. There's dependability. Our God is a dependable God. He is true to His promises. He will never go back on anything that He has promised. He is totally dependable. He said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Now, the psalmist had the idea that perhaps God had forsaken him. And the people would say to him, "Where is thy God?" But God hadn't forsaken him. God won't forsake you and me, but we need to strive to be dependable. Dependable. That when we say something, folks can say, "Yes, He will do it. He means it." Dependability. Diligence. Our God is a diligent God. He's always on the job. We can't always be on the job. But we have to be diligent in what we're doing, seeking to do our very best. Our God is a forgiving God, and He instructs us to forgive. And that's a quality that is so necessary today, because we're going to be hurt. We're going to be hurt by others, and we're going to hurt others. And there has to be that willingness to forgive and to accept forgiveness. I hope you've never said, "I can never forgive that person for what they've done for me." That is not a statement from a mature believer whose heart is after God. No matter how great the hurt, no matter how often they have mistreated you, there still is that readiness to forgive. And we could go on and name others. There's generosity. There's gratefulness. There is humility. You say, is God humble? God who is so great, is He humble? Can we say that about Him? Well, we read in one of the Psalms that He has to humble Himself to behold what's going on in heaven and in earth. Does that tell us something about the greatness of God and about the humility of God? That He must humble Himself even to behold the things that are in heaven and that are in earth. And Jesus Christ humbled Himself, laid aside His glory, and took upon Him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Became a servant to serve you and me to secure our salvation. So we need to develop God-given character qualities. And the more we become conformed to the likeness of Christ, the greater will be our desire to be even more like Him. We'll never weary of becoming more like Christ. Every time we become more like Him, every time we can say, I believe I am more like Christ in this area, and that's without pride. That's because God makes it possible. I believe there will be a desire for even more likeness to Him. We need to remember it's a journey and not an overnight stop. This is a lifelong pursuit to have a heart after God. It doesn't come quickly. It's an ongoing thing. Tomorrow, to seek to have a heart after God. The next day, to seek to have a heart after God. And on throughout our lives, because we know we're never going to accomplish it all. We're never going to be entirely like God and have a heart that is totally after God. So, it's a journey. Don't expect to have a heart after God after one day's effort, after a week's effort. No, it's a lifetime effort. And then we need to start now. The sooner, the better. Don't say, I'm too old. I've lived most of my life. It's no longer possible for me to have a heart after God. God doesn't put any limits on this matter of being conformed to the image of Christ. Don't say, I'm too young. I'm not old enough. One day, I will strive to have a heart after God. No, God doesn't put any limits on that. You'll never be more ready to have a heart after God than you are today. Think about that. You'll never be more ready, that is, as far as your being. There might be a will that will be more ready sometime. But as far as having a heart after God, this is the day to begin that quest. If your heart doesn't go after God, and my heart doesn't go after God, where's it going to go? It's going to go after Satan. We don't pay too much attention to neutral in our gear shifts in our cars today. But there's still a neutral in the gears. But there's no neutral phase in the heart. Your heart and my heart will not be in a neutral mode. Either we're going to be seeking after God and longing after God and having a desire for a heart after God, or we're going to be going in the reverse. We're going to be going in the opposite direction after the devil and after the world and after the flesh. God won't force us to go His way, but we know He will lead us, He will guide us, He will receive us as we go His way. Let me read those verses again. Look at them there in Psalm 42. As the hart panteth after the water brook. Here's a deer. Maybe it's been chased by dogs. It's thirsty. It's almost exhausted. And it just longs for the fresh, cool water of the brook to renew its strength and to renew its energy. It pants after the water brook. And the psalmist says, that's the way my soul pants after Thee. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. I say, I don't claim to have this kind of hunger and this kind of thirst. Perhaps you don't lay claim to it either. But we're missing a lot when we don't really desire to have a heart after God and do what we can to allow God to develop such a heart in us. Shall we pray? Lord, we thank you for the example of the psalmist, for the cry that he uttered that you've preserved for us on the pages of the Bible. And we have to confess, Lord, that we lack in that hunger and that thirst after righteousness. We lack so often in that desire to have a heart really surrendered and yielded to thee. But Lord, you promised great blessing. You promised to show yourself strong in behalf of those whose hearts are perfect toward you, whose hearts are pulling in your direction. And may we understand that if we're not going after thee, if we don't have a heart after thee, we're going to have a heart after Satan. Because there is no neutral gear in our hearts. They're going to go one way or the other. They're going to worship you or the devil. They're going to serve you or Satan. They're going to become like you or more like Satan. There's someone here this morning who needs to trust Jesus Christ as personal Savior. Help them to understand that that is where it all begins. That's where it starts. And Lord, may they open their hearts and receive Christ today. And help us who are believers to yield ourselves completely to Thee, to give ourselves wholly to Thee, as Caleb did, that we can be in this pursuit of a heart after Thee. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Talked about meditation. Take just a few moments to think on this matter of a heart after God. Have you given your heart, your soul to God through Jesus Christ? Have you accepted Him as your Savior? We're going to sing a hymn of invitation in a moment. If you haven't done that, we invite you to come. Maybe you've never been in this building before. Or maybe you've been here many times. But you've not given your soul to God through Jesus Christ. And you realize that's what you need to do. God's speaking to you about it. Come and meet one of us here. And let us take you into another room. A quiet place. Show you from God's Word how to be saved. And if you're a believer and you say, I don't have a heart that's really after God, but I'd like to begin that pursuit. I'd like to begin that quest. Or maybe you say, yeah, I've been on such a quest, but I've grown cold in it. And I've grown indifferent about it. And you just want to come and kneel here at the altar and tell the Lord, I want to have a heart like David, a heart that is after you. I want to have such a heart. I want to be more conformed to the likeness of Christ. Come and share that with the Lord. He already knows that. But you come here, kneel at this altar, humble yourself, and share it with Him. And you'll be greatly blessed by doing so. Father, help us to be willing to do what you'd have us to do today. For Jesus' sake, amen. Our invitation is number 320. 320, let's stand together as we sing. Come as you need to come. Carol sing a verse or two for us. I want to give you ample opportunity to do what you believe the Lord would have you to do today. If we have any here that have made decisions elsewhere, maybe at camp or maybe in vacation Bible school or somewhere else, and you've never shared that decision, never made it publicly known, we'd invite you to come. And if we have any others who are not members of our congregation, you believe the Lord would have you to become a part of this fellowship, we include you in the invitation as well. If God's spoken to you about your heart and the desires of your heart, the longings of your heart, you see they're not what they ought to be. They're not what would please God. We invite you to come, urge you to come, and kneel here at this altar for what God would have you to do. Pour out your heart to Him. If you're not saved, make this the day of your salvation, knowing that you'll not be turned away, but Christ will save you if you'll come to Him this morning. Just while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, this is a continued opportunity for you today. Father, as we come to the end of this service, I pray that you'd watch over us as we go from this place. And as it pleases Thee, may we be able to gather together again this evening to be challenged by Your servant as he comes to share Your word with us. Thank You for those who have come for various reasons this morning. And Lord, I pray that You'll bless them for the move they made, for what they did, knowing that the blessings come from Thee when we yield ourselves to Thee and when we, Lord, let our desires be Your desires. So we praise Thee for this day and for this time. For those that are traveling today, take care of them as the Edwards take this long trip to Papua New Guinea. Lord, just keep them by Your power and be with Debbie and the ones that remain behind. Pray for those traveling to California today, some already on their way, for the team effort out at Ironwood and others leaving this afternoon. Give them safe journeys as they go. And Lord, give us hearts that are concerned for the lost. This time, this year of harvest, as we've called it, we long to see a greater harvest. And Lord, help us to overcome our fears and help us to overcome our lethargy. Help us to overcome our lack of compassion and do what we can to sow the seed that others may come to know Christ. All these things we pray in His name. Amen. We're going to close this morning by singing 497, and this is like a prayer, and I hope we'll make it the prayer of our hearts. We're glad to have Amy Panosian coming for membership. She's Matthew Panosian's wife. She's been attending here for quite some time, and now she's coming for membership. And Shelley Johansson was baptized a long time ago, but she feels like it was before she was really saved. And so she wants to make her obedience complete in this area and be baptized again. And we're glad to have this decision made on her part. And there were others that came talking about various things in their hearts and what they desired from the Lord. So we're grateful for all of these this morning. 497, we'll sing this, and with that we'll be dismissed.